Yeah, midway through the season, sitting at 6-0, happy about what the team's been doing, and every week the work that the guys put in. After watching the film, I'm really pleased with the team and the direction we're headed, but we have a lot of work to do still, and we have to do that in a short week, playing against a really good team, Oklahoma State, that played in the championship game last year. So they have a great head coach. Mike Gundy's been he's one of the longest tenured coaches in college football. So, he's seen it all in terms of what types of seasons and how he and responding to adversity. So we know we're going to get their best shot. We had a game against them last year. So it's one of the carryover games that we had from our first year in the Big 12 to the second year. And so we had a close one against them in the end of the year last year and went to double overtime and didn't work out in our favor. And so we're looking forward to this matchup and being a little bit more familiar with their roster and the depth chart and the coaching and styles and scheme. They have the same knowledge with us. They're coming off a bye week, so we know what that's like and how it can be an advantage. We just had that advantage for us, and so we know we're going to get the best shot. I say this every week. I just got to make sure that they get ours as well. And we're really happy about the game being here and being here Friday night, so it's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to that game, looking forward to the matchup. guys got to stay humble, stay hungry, and just keep working hard. I mean, this is a brand new week, so we're trying to go 1-0 every week. So I'm glad what we've been able to accomplish. It's not anything that we didn't think we could do. So we're in a really good spot now, but just really happy for the team and the way they played. I've been really pleased with the overall the coaching staff. I know a lot of attention goes to the coordinators, and then I think A-Rod and K-Pop and Jay have done an amazing job, you know, getting the teams and their phases ready every week. But there's a lot of I don't think enough attention goes to the other guys that have been able to get it done too, and just want to make sure that everybody knows those guys have done an amazing job. And offense, having T.J. Woods coach the O-line, Kevin Gilbride coaching the tight ends, Harvey Uma with the running backs, and they've done a great job. And then you look at what Fessy's done with the receivers and obviously A-Rod work with the quarterbacks. So I like what the offense is doing. Still a lot of really good things that we can improve on that help us be in a better spot to put more points on the board. Defensively, been really pleased with Sione Poha with the D-line and with Kelly Papinga with the D-ends, Justin Enna, the linebackers, Janelle Guilford with the corners. They've done a great job. And just those guys just working well together, and we're making some big plays on defense, and those guys done a great job. And we've had some wonderful help from the from our analysts and our consultants and GAs, and they've done an amazing job. So I just want to make sure that they get some recognition too. So as we go through this, looking forward to the second part of the season, and looking forward to game 7. Can't wait. I'm glad we're at home. It's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to the game. So what questions do you guys have for me?
Thanks, Coach. We'll start with Mitch Harper and then John Kuhn.
Kalani, how much did that loss, you noted this was a carryover game, how much did that loss in Stillwater last November fuel this year's team to the successes they're experiencing at the midway point right now?
Yeah, I think it was tough, man. It's kind of like the last two games where you knew that it was coming close to an end, and we had awesome seniors that sacrificed a lot to be here, and I think the hard part was just saying goodbye to them and not extending the season, you know, and guys that we saw that were back, you know, this weekend and have been around them, like A.J. Vonkpachonk and Keenan Slovis and guys like Eddie Heckert, Cam Gitt, all those guys have done great job leading this team. Their hard work got this team kind of a jump start into this year, so I'm really proud of this team, but that was a sour taste and a sore spot for us, and so this is a chance for us to try to make things right, and not really worried about the revenge factor as much as I just want our guys to play really, really good, clean football, play at our best. Again, focusing on what we can do. And if we can do that, I feel really good about our chances, especially being at home. But it's going to be a dogfight, man. It's going to be a lot of fun. We saw some really cool things from Arizona, got a lot out of our players. And, so we're looking forward to the challenge with Oklahoma State, too.
Thanks, Mitch.
Gundy was non-committal about their quarterback situation, kind of leaving it open for all three quarterbacks to be in the mix to start this week. How are you guys going to dive into extensive film on those backups to be ready, I assume?
Yeah, I mean, we got to cover everything. So, I mean, I think they're a really good coaching staff, and you don't just luck into playing for the conference championship last year. So, we have to be ready for all of it. But I think the key for us, and this is going off of this last week, we made some mistakes that were not like us. You know what I mean? And on defenses, I think if we can just play assignment sound football, focus on the fundamentals, the simple things that we can fix, I think that'll put us in a better position for success, regardless of who the quarterback is. But that's their expertise. They know how to get their quarterbacks ready, and we're looking forward to seeing their best guy. I mean, we might see one, we might see all three. We just have to be ready to do our part on defense.
Look at what Parker Kingston's been able to do to this point in the season, and he's one of three players in Big 12 history to have multiple games with a receiving TD and a passing TD. What about his skill set and how he prepares and plays is unique, but allows him to be kind of that Swiss Army knife that you can plug in and utilize in different plays and schemes?
Well, he's a great, great athlete and with a high football IQ. Played quarterback at Roy, you know, so he's got playmaking ability. So he can throw the ball, but he can also run. He just understands the game, and then you combine that with speed and athleticism. Usually a great recipe for a really good player. And he's bought into his role. He's bought into doing whatever he can do to help the team win. And I love having him on the team. I think he's. He's a big weapon for us, and to go along with and complement the other weapons that we have on offense.
We'll go Jared Lloyd and then Jay Catch.
Kalani, I wanted to ask about the way this team is so balanced. You've got a lot of really good players. I don't know if anybody would point to anybody on this team and say, oh, that's the superstar. How proud of you are just the way everybody has kind of elevated their performance to be such a balanced team?
Yeah, I'm just proud of the guys. I mean, they worked hard, and I think the spotlight's going to shine on the guys when their opportunity is to make plays. But I love that they know it's not just them doing it all by themselves. You know, you have 10 other teammates that are there with them making that play work, and a whole bunch of others that are there, you know, working throughout the week to get them ready. So the guys are all bought into the entire team mentality, and when their moment comes, and everyone doing their 111th on the field, if we can just keep that going and keep focusing on improvement, that's going to be the key for us in this week. I mean, we've done that every week so far, and now it's let's get back to being humble, working hard, and trying to find ways to get better.
With the transfer portal with NIL, we've talked a lot about that, of course, but there can be that leaning toward the individual, what's best for me versus what's best for the team. How important is that at BYU to have that, you know, that culture that you've developed?
Well, I think it's just, you look into all the different variables in recruiting. You have to be able to play the game, but we have to see what kind of teammate they're going to be, you know, and how they're going to fit into the team dynamic overall, and not just what one person is going to do for our team, but what can they add to the culture? Can they help enhance the culture, and do they have the faith to carry on? Do they have the humility to represent their families, and can they be focused on what's more important than the things like money and things like that? You know, looking at experiences and the the valuable memories that will be there for them to last a lifetime, that's got to be the key. And so I think if they have their focus and they have their mind right, I think they'll just realize this is a great spot for them. There's a lot of great things about BYU, but it doesn't fit everybody. But it'll fit the right people, and I think it's the proof is in what we've been able to accomplish on the field this year. But it's like I look at every year that we've been here, and we've seen this team and this culture that I've tried to bring along, that I learned from Lavelle, is that no matter what the result is or what the scoreboard looks like, our guys know that there's more to life than just being a football player. And so the goal is to come here and become the best version of themselves. And I'm just trying to do what Lavelle did for me and what other coaches have done for a great young man. So I think it's working out really nicely right now, just knowing that they're more than just a football player.
Cool. I don't know if this was answered earlier, if you referred to it, but Ollie Gordon is the reigning Doak Walker Award winner. He's had a really slow start to the season, but how wary are you guys of him?
Yeah, dangerous player. I mean, he's it's hard to keep a guy that's that talented down, and so eventually he's gonna find ways to, you know, poke holes in your defense. And we just got to be assignment sound and make it really difficult for him and for that offense. But great player. He's a next level player. You can see he's an NFL guy. So you know, it's a tough challenge. We see it on film, and we saw it all on film last year. So he's the same guy with the same talent. He's got tremendous speed and athleticism, so this is a tough matchup. We just got to be on top of it and make sure that we can make it difficult for him, because I've seen a lot of teams that do make it difficult for him. He finds ways to make plays, but we just gotta it's got to be all 11 guys on the field taking care and being aware of what he's doing.
All season long, you've been adamant that you believed in this team and what they could accomplish. Now they're sitting at 6-0. Was there a certain point during maybe training camp or this season that told you, hey, this team has what it takes to do what they're doing?
Oh, I knew what these guys are capable of doing, because I know the character that's in them, you know. So as we start working from January to this moment, you just have a good feeling about it. And I had a good feeling about last year's team too. I don't predict the scores, but what I can do is I can control who they are and what their parents raised, and then try to complement that with the other with their teammates. And so it's working on the scoreboard, but this is something that you have to keep working on culture, and keep working on connection and mission and what they want to accomplish in life.
We'll take some more questions from Sean Walker and then Jay Drew.
I want to kind of focus on the trenches, maybe one very specific example, and then I've got a follow-up, if you will, with the group overall on the offensive line. But I noticed that Sonny and Bruce are both listed as with that or with the co-starters at center. Is Sonny still a little bit up in the air with regards to his health, his availability?
I think Sonny will be more ready to play this week. It's just a matter of where everybody's going to fit. The cool thing about it is that they've all played guard and center, Sonny and Bruce specifically. And so, and you have Austin and Waylon there at guard. You can only start five guys, you know. So we really feel good about the depth at our O-line position. TJ's done a great job coaching them. It's just whoever's going to be the best fit for us right now and at center. So Bruce did an amazing job in this game against Arizona. Sonny did a great job against Baylor, and so it's not a bad thing to have guys that have experience now and that have started games and in a really difficult spot in replacing a captain and 4-year starter in Connor Pay.
Yeah, definitely not a bad problem to have, I don't think. What do you think that says about that group overall, and maybe specifically what TJ Woods has done with this offensive line? I think I read somewhere that they and math was never my strong suit, but I think they've given up a total of like 6 sacks or something like that this entire year. Like, just what is it about Coach Woods where he seems to have gotten the best out of this offensive line?
Yeah, Coach Woods, I mean, TJ is a good, really good coach, and he understands football, and he has a great connection to his players. And so he's going to get the most out of those guys, but he's a great teacher, which was what I appreciate him the most, that he loves these young men and he wants to see them succeed. And the way he's taught them, they've all bought into his philosophy, which is right in alignment with what we want to do as a team and our offense. And so it's worked, but I think you can't – although I really appreciate what TJ's done as a coach, you can't bypass the effectiveness of Connor Pay's leadership. I mean, you guys that were watching the game could see there's a guy on a scooter rolling out there, you know, and trying to coach it up, and that's been really impressive. We have great leadership, and then to have guys like Caleb Etienne that's a left tackle, and Braden Kime at right tackle that have tons of reps for us and played a lot of games in college football. I think they can help with the interior three. And then you have Waylon Lapuaho, who started a lot of games too. So I give a lot of credit to the guys that are leaders in that room, Connor being one of them, and then also the seniors with Caleb and and with Braden and then Waylon. So it's, you can kind of see that there's a good group to be around, and those guys love each other, man, and they work really well. I mean, we're focused on peer-to-peer teaching quite a bit, and they do a great job at it.
Kalani, I wanted to also ask you about Bruce Mitchell, that Sean pretty much covered everything, but just going back to when you guys asked him to move over to offensive line, what did you see in him, maybe his physique or his makeup, that just told you that he could do the offensive line side of it?
Well, his willingness to just do whatever the team needs. And I've been around a lot of really good teammates and guys that are all about the team, and there's none better than Bruce. So whatever you ask him to do, play guard, fine. You know, play D-tackle, he can do that too. Hey, here, snap the ball and be really effective, and then go block people at the same time. And you have to do it in during the bye week and get ready to be a starter for us. The guy is not – he just doesn't know any better other than to do whatever is asked of him, and he'll match your expectations. And that's nothing I did or even that TJ did. He's got an amazing upbringing and wonderful family, and the guy's super tough. You know, so when you put that all together, you're going to have a great result.
We'll take our last questions from Mitch Harper and then Jake Hatch.
Kalani, wanted to follow up. Notice Micah Harper was off the depth chart this week. Did he have a setback, and is he off or is he out this week?
Off of the nickel spot?
Yeah, he was off the nickel spot, depth chart.
Yeah, he's still on the depth chart. So, yeah, he's still there. He's still playing. He played in this last game. We have a lot of really good players that can play, and we rotate quite a bit. But I think at the nickel spot, it's hard to teach two positions at once and trying to be a little bit more mastering one spot and being really good at it. So I think that's the reason for that move.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Kalani, I just wanted to go back and talk to you about your running backs for a moment here. Are you hoping at some point that one of them essentially emerges as the lead guy, or are you okay with it being by committee week by week?
Yeah, I'm okay with all of it. So as long as we get yards and can get guys that are healthy. I mean, just we also want to ease guys into it, you know. So we have good, capable guys that can play. I don't think you want to just, because one guy's healthy, get in there and force feed them. I think it's okay that they can do it by committee for a little bit. And then, you know, we don't have any tendencies right now. So it keeps people guessing on what the back is and what he specializes in. So there's a lot of reasons behind all of it, more than that. But we just got to keep working. All of them need to get better. But it's good to have guys that have battled. And, I mean, there's a lot of oars there, but you can kind of get a feel for the mix of the guys that are going to be the main guys for us.
I also wanted to ask you real quick, Isaiah Glasker, what's changed that's allowed him to be so effective in his role at linebacker?
Yeah, he's bigger and he's stronger, developed. I mean, he's always been a great player, and when we brought him in from Bingham, he was a skill position. He could play safety and receiver, and we just had the thought of developing him into a big-time linebacker, and he bought into it, gained the weight. I mean, he's 6'4", 6'5", 235 pounds, and he's one of our fastest players on our team. So that's a good sign, you know, and it's good to have our backers playing at high level, and good to have our alumni come back, and it's good to see all those guys that returned, and it was nice for our linebackers to see Fred Warner there and you know, seeing him there and just him being just like them, you know. And it's a really good thing, man, to have that consistency in our program and to have alumni that come back and they can kind of understand the vocabulary and the way we talk to each other. So it's a lot of fun.